Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. One of our local members of Congress made some news at Donald Trump's speech before Congress the other night. While many from our area were staying away from the aisle, refusing to shake Trump's hand as he walked in and out of the chamber, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney of the 18th District, Hudson Valley, north of the city, leaned over and said something in Trump's ear. He later revealed what it was. Maloney also happens to be one of only a dozen House Democrats who was elected last year in a district that also voted for Trump. So he's in an interesting position in our area right now. He's also one of only seven openly gay members of Congress, and he brought with him to the speech the president of the Mid-Hudson Valley chapter of Planned Parenthood. Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney joins us now. We'll get his take on the session story, too. Congressman, welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be with you.
I know you won't be revealing this for the first time, but would you tell our listeners what you said to the president and what he said back?
Yeah, I said you've up to now left in place the key Obama executive orders that protect LGBT people in the workplace. He said, yes, we did. And I said, well, I hope you keep them there because they do a lot of good. And he said, I got it, we will. And I said, and there's more you could do for LGBT equality if you're willing to talk about it. And, and he said something positive, and that was it. And, you know, I'm not taking anybody's word for anything, but the point is that they have sent the wrong signal by pulling back the guidance on the transgender policy, and Neil Gorsuch is not going to be any friend to people in the LGBT community. So I'm wide awake about the threats to our equality. But I will tell you, the Obama executive orders that cover employers with 28 million people are a big deal. And it has been well publicized that his daughter, Ivanka Trump, and Jared Kushner intervened in an effort to reverse those orders. And they even sent Sean Spicer out to brag about it. So I know they have paused on reversing executive orders. And remember, I spent half of last year fighting an effort in the House of Representatives to roll those back. And there was a guy named Steve Russell from Oklahoma who introduced an anti-gay amendment to the defense bill. We fought it. We stopped it. We beat it in the conference committee at the end of the year, and we preserved President Obama's historic extension of these protections to LGBT folks in the workplace. President Trump could reverse that with a signature. I don't want him to do it. He hasn't done it so far. That's what I was talking to him about.
People who watch C-SPAN, both of them, saw one of the bizarre moments on the House floor last year when you sponsored an amendment that the House narrowly defeated in a raucous voting session that you were just referring to ban federal contractors who discriminate against LGBT workers. Finally, that order remained in place at the level of the White House, and that's what you're hoping the president doesn't turn back, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we fought this to a standstill last year. We got a bipartisan group on the House to say we weren't going to reverse these basic workplace protections for gays and lesbians, transgender folks in the workplace. And the problem is that even though we won last year, the president with a signature could undo those things. He has not done so, and it's important that we take note of that. And I was just telling him, hope he doesn't. And he hasn't up to now. His White House has been bragging about the fact that he has not. It's one of the few, things that you can point to and say it hasn't been a total disaster. And so I just think if there's a way to keep those in place, it would be important to the 28 million people working at entities that receive some federal money.
Why'd you bring the local head of Planned Parenthood with you to the speech?
Well, to let them know that there are real people behind these decisions they're kicking around. I mean, they're talking about defunding Planned Parenthood. There are 40,000 families just in my district north of the city that depend on Planned Parenthood. It's a great organization. It does good work. And so I brought the head of the Mid-Hudson Planned Parenthood, Ruth Ellen Blodgett, who sat, just a few seats over from the First Lady, to say there are real people that are going to be hurt by these things you guys are talking about.
He kind of tucked a passing reference to women's health into the speech on Tuesday night. That's all he had on that. But I want to play a clip from back during the campaign. This is Trump praising Planned Parenthood to Sean Hannity.
A lot of women are helped, so we have to look at the positives also for Planned Parenthood. You know, even a guy like you, you may be convinced it does some positive things. I would look at it very strongly. We have to help women.
Sometimes his words don't mean anything. Did those?
We're going to find out. I look, talk is cheap, especially with the current president. And what we need to do is we need to judge him by his actions. And we need to hold his feet to the fire. And I think, you know, a lot of us got the wind knocked out of us on November 8th. But I'll tell you what, I felt better on January 21st when we saw those women's marches. And women have been in the forefront of the resistance, of organizing opposition to Donald Trump. And I think we should build off of that. And we need to watch his actions. I think we can win this fight on Planned Parenthood, but we've all got to get engaged. And if you're listening to this and you want to do something, man, helping Planned Parenthood is a great way to start.
You issued a statement after the speech that said the clumsy and ill-conceived actions President Trump has taken so far, which have undermined our Constitution, make it very difficult to work with him, but I'll stay at it, unquote. Now, that's a little different from some Democrats who say no cooperation with Trump on anything, no normalizing, only resistance. Why say you'll stay at it on working with Trump?
Well, we need to understand that this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. You know, barring some extraordinary events, this president will be in office for at least 4 years. And he has said things in the campaign, from ending bad trade deals to reducing the cost of prescription drugs by negotiating their price in the Medicare program, to closing the carried interest loophole, to things like infrastructure. That if he settles down and stops doing all this crazy stuff and wants to talk about lowering drug prices or building bridges in my district, I'm going to work with him. And I think a lot of Democrats would. But you can't work with a guy who is daily undermining the Constitution of the United States. You can't work with a guy who calls the press, all of you, the enemy of the American people. That's wrong. It does violence to our Constitution. And it makes impossible to do anything positive, even with somebody with whom you have such disagreements. You know, That's what a lot of us are looking for, is give us something we can do that's good.
I see that you're one of only 12 Democrats in Congress whose districts also voted for Trump. And I see that when you held a town hall meeting the other day, one of those famous town halls during the recess, you even said, I challenge you all to please find a neighbor, a family member, a friend, you all have them, who supports Donald Trump, and talk to them, listen to them. What's the mission behind urging that?
Oh, because here's what I say. I think this indivisible stuff is great. I think the indivisible movement is amazing. And to all my friends who are in the indivisible movement, and this is who I was talking to, I have a challenge for you. Let's be better than the Tea Party. Let's do more than the Tea Party. And let's not just talk to people who already agree with us. Now, as someone who represents a district that just voted for Donald Trump, in my case, as the representative of that district, you know, I have to have some humility about the fact that my neighbors just supported this guy. Now, I believe that a lot of them didn't sign up for going after the Constitution or the independent judiciary or you know, attacking people because of their faith. They wanted change. They wanted an end to bad trade deals. A lot of Bernie Sanders supporters have said to me they wouldn't vote for Hillary. A lot of union guys, particularly building trades, didn't want to vote for the Democratic Party because of trade deals. There are lots of reasons that people supported Trump. I want to pull some of those folks back over to our side, and we have to do more than just talk to each other. And I want to build something. The Tea Party was about tearing down our government, tearing down our first African-American president. It was negative and destructive. I don't want Indivisible to just be that. I want to do more than that. I want to build something new that welcomes in working people of all colors who we have been losing right now.
And I should be clear that the Indivisible that you're referring to is the political movement. We have, by coincidence, a radio show of the same name, which is a different thing, just to be clear to our listeners. Anytime. Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney with us for another few minutes. And I want to acknowledge that your district north of the city is one that has been hit by an apparent act of public anti-Semitism. I read that swastikas were found Monday in a bathroom at John Jay High School in Westchester. There have also been threats reported by two Jewish community centers in Westchester, one in Tarrytown, one in Scarsdale, as part of the national wave of such threats. And I see you are one of the signers of a letter demanding that the FBI and Department of Homeland Security investigate the threat. The letter says we cannot allow terrorism against the Jewish community to become the norm. Do you think the FBI and Homeland Security under Trump are not taking enough action?
Well, we want to know exactly what they're doing. Let's be clear. These are organized terroristic attacks on people because of their faith. There was a report this week that a lot of these attacks and bomb threats may have emanated from overseas. I'd be very interested in what kind of connections there are to some of the phone calls we had before the election that were anti-Semitic and were targeted at hurting the Democratic ticket. There's a lot going on in the area of cyberspace and in the area of organized terroristic campaigns to divide us and to create division and dissension. And we need to get on top of it at the federal government. That's why we need an independent 9/11 style bipartisan investigation of what the heck was going on with the Russian state actors and the hacking of our election. We saw just last night it revealed that the Attorney General of the United States lied under oath about his conversations with Russian officials. We already know that the National Security Advisor was forced to resign because he lied to the Vice President and others about playing footsie with the Russians as well. There is a lot of smoke here, and this should not be a Democrat or Republican issue. We need to get to the bottom of whether it's terrorist attacks against, whether it's terroristic threats against Jewish neighbors, or it is about Russian actors using cyberspace to attack our elections. We need to understand these new threats, and we have the tools at the federal government to do it. We need to get an action on it, and that's what that letter's about. Let's use these resources.
This session story is moving very fast this morning. Now we have two Republican House leaders, Jason Chaffetz and Kevin McCarthy, calling on him to appoint a special prosecutor on Russia, Russia and Trump, along with more Democrats calling on Sessions to resign, which Nancy Pelosi began last night and Senator Schumer just picked up a short time ago. Are you calling on Senator Sessions to resign?
Yes, I am. I think it is absolutely unacceptable that the Attorney General of the United States lied under oath to a committee of the United States Senate, period, full stop. And we talk about normalizing things. Let's just imagine if Secretary Clinton had been caught in a lie before the Benghazi commission, what an extraordinary explosion there would have been over that. I mean, this shouldn't be hard. This guy had multiple meetings with the Russian ambassador, and he lied about it, and he's the Attorney General of the United States. That's not okay, and it was exactly the reason Michael Flynn resigned. I don't know why it would be any different here, but the real issue is getting that independent commission to investigate Russian influence in our election. All Americans, Republicans and Democrats, should be concerned about that and want to have the facts. And you can stack it up with senior, out-of-office Republican officials, balance it among the parties, make it fair. We're okay with the facts, but let's get the facts.
Sessions says he wasn't lying under oath because his contacts with the Russian ambassador were about Armed Services Committee business, not about the campaign. Do you reject that?
Well, it's not the clear text of the question or his answer. Let me just put it that way. And it was cute at best. And we can expect more from the Attorney General. Brian, I have to apologize. Yeah, I have less than a minute on a House vote, so I'm going to have to jump off in a second. But I think we can have a higher standard than that for the chief law enforcement officer of the country. I mean, my goodness.
Since you got to go and vote, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much.
Listen, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney from the 18th Congressional District north of the city. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Much more to come.